And it seems like the whole world's against you, and it does at times. Right now, I feel like, man, the whole world, especially this whole country, is just against Christianity, God, the church, anything decent, moral, ethical, and it's all against us. And it probably is, but not all, because God's there, and God's bigger than all this. And so, you know, I started to use, you know, this title on here, you know, God is always there, and feeling lost, not forgotten. There's lots of times, listen, there's lots of times I feel like, I have felt like in my life, that God, for whatever reason, wasn't quite sure of where I was. Anybody ever gone through that? Have you ever had the feeling that God was just not with you for a little bit? That he's all this stuff's happening and you're thinking, what have I done? What was it? Was it that last thing? Was it my temper? Anybody in here besides me ever had that feeling? Okay. And you just thought, and you can't feel him, and you pray, and you it seems your prayers just aren't going anywhere. Everything just seems dry. And you try to read the Bible and it's not happening. And we're not supposed to say these things in Christianity, you know. But, you know, we're supposed to always act like it's all great. You know, you can hear a lot of these guys on TV and stuff and how great it is. It's all good and it's all wonderful. But friends, let's talk real stuff. That's where we are. You know, always, I try to be as real as I can. There's times, and you go through these phases in your life, when you're not sure God's always there. Is he there? Yes. But do you feel he's there all the time? Several of you have ever had that, you've had that issue, and it just felt dry. And you try to read the Bible. You ever try to read the Bible, and it felt like you couldn't retain two words you just read? Anybody been through that? Yeah. When it just, and you just force yourself, and you put it down in exasperation, you're frustrated, you're tired, and, you know, and I want you to know something. When those times, and we go through them, when the scripture just doesn't seem as alive, when our prayers just seem so dry and dusty, and stuff is happening, and it keeps happening, and you're praying, God, get me out of this. God, I need this money. God, I need this. And you don't see it happening. And you begin to wonder, you know, and is God here for me? You know, it's not that you doubt his existence. But, and I'll tell you what really hurts. When you're in really deep need, does this ever happen to you? You're just in deep financial need, or you're emotionally hurting or whatever. And I don't know what that is. But anyway, you're just in this deep need, and it's all gnawing at you. And then the person next to you, or one of your best friends, or your family, they get a big bonus. They get a promotion, and you're hoping for that, and you're saying, I can't even get a job, and they're getting promoted, and you're saying to yourself, and they're the lousiest, no good person I know, and really we do all this, right? It seems like the worst people get ahead, and right when you're in the deepest need and struggle of your life, it seems like everything around you, everybody's being blessed but you. Everything you do, you're losing. You go to the mailbox and there's bills. They go to the mailbox and there's checks paid out to them. Right? You know, and you go through that. And friends, so I want you to know, everybody hear this, and several of you go through this, and some of you obviously are nodding your heads going through it now. He's there. He's there. He's at the mailbox when you go. He's there when you're praying, and he knows, he sees the dust falling out of your prayers. He does. He sees you lying awake here and at night, or sitting up and trying to find something to do because you can't go to sleep. He's there. Because he's promised never leave you, forsake you. Here's what he didn't promise. He said, I promise to never leave you, forsake you. I do not promise that at times you won't, that you're not going to go through times where you don't feel me. He didn't promise that you'd feel him every moment of every day. See, that's the difference. And we think we're going to feel his presence all the time. It's when I don't feel his presence and I have to continue walking in faith that the greatest thing is happening for me and I don't get it. It really is. So you take encouragement this morning. Well, you know, while you're struggling and your prayers are so dry and dusty and dust, it's just slowly sifting down in your prayer life, and the Bible's hard to read. And it's like, Pastor, do you ever go through that? Are you kidding? It's like, are there weeks you pick that Bible up and have to study for a message and you're going, this is not working? You haven't ever had that, have you? Oh, no, uh-uh. And you're saying, I got to have a message, and Thursday's my usual big day. Thursday goes away. It's not happening. Friday's there. It's not happening. And then you're beginning to choke, and it's not good. And God, I can't get a message. What is going on? And then I start blaming myself. My prayers are just real dusty this week. It's not happening. And then you get into Saturday, and it's freak out time. And I'm thinking, by Saturday afternoon, I have to text all this stuff to Ed, these bullet points. And I'm thinking, Ed's waiting. I don't have it. I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all this despair, frustration, anxiety, stress, something happens. God happens. And it's like, son, I push you this week to the very edge. Why? Why would I do that? I'll tell you one reason. I discovered of the many that God lets us go to the edge, and these messages sometimes just won't come. It's so we can bring something to help people understand that they're not alone out here on the edge. And pastors often are required, I don't like this. This is a part of pastoring I've never liked, never will. We have to live a lot of this stuff so it comes from the heart and not just from a book. And so he lets us go to the edge, struggling, can't get a message, can't get this word, nothing's working, so that we can get up here and you hear us say this, and all of a sudden you're saying, oh, I'm not alone. Even pastor goes through this. Yeah. Yeah. We all have those times. And it can be short-lived, maybe for a day, a week, and sometimes a month, or it can go more than a month, several months. When we're just in that place of life, and the word from God is that God is always, always with you. He's always there. You may feel like that you're lost and wandering around in the wilderness, but you're never forgotten. One of the scriptures that you don't have this morning, he says, and you can mark this down, in Isaiah 49, verse 16, he says, see, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand, and your walls are continually before me. Isn't that great? God says, he gives those metaphors and all those illustrations so we can identify with them. He says, I love you so much, and I'm so aware of you that you're on the palm of my hand. And you say, even today, and I don't know if people that do this, I don't know if you do, but you make little notes on your hand. You don't have to now because you got that little piece of equipment that you make all your notes in. I still haven't figured out how to do all that, so I don't put them on my hand, but I got these little sticky, my pockets are full of sticky notes. You know the problem with sticky notes in the heat? The sticky notes stick to your pocket and to each other. And so you go to HEB and you pull out your sticky note and there's this glob of stuff and it's all turned inside out and half the notes are now stuck, glued together, and I can't read them. You say, why don't you learn to put it in your cell phone? Stubborn. Just stubborn. A lot of you identify with that. Is there things that you could really be doing, but you're just too dadgum stubborn to do them? Oh. A pat on the shoulder for you. Are you pointing at me? I'm confessing. If you think pastor here's not stubborn, you got another thought coming. And contrary and honorary. And some other cuss words I can't say up here this morning. But it's like people ask me, why don't you start using your phone and putting notes on there? Because I'm too stubborn to. Then I'll make all these excuses, when I'm being nice. I just haven't figured that out. Those smartphones and all this and that. But what's the real truth? I want to. Well, okay then. Go ahead and pull out a glob of stuck-up sticky notes in your pocket. But nonetheless, this what God is saying to relate to all this, whether you have everything finely fine-tuned and organized in your little cell phone, or you're still writing on your hand or sticky notes, what God's trying to get across here is, I have you in the palm of my hand. Here's your name. And when your dry, dusty prayers to you don't seem to be happening for you, God is telling, and I want you to hear this and take encouragement from it, God is saying, but it's happening for me. I hear those prayers whether you get it or not. And I'm working behind the scenes, whether you see me working or not. And I want to tell you this morning that whatever struggle you're in, whatever you're going through, and I'm not even into the message, but this is just, these are some notes you won't have to hear later on, because I'm already giving them to you, because this is exciting to me to know, and I need to hear it myself, that no matter what, and no matter what I feel or don't feel, God's working, because he says he's what? In Romans 8, we're going to use Romans 8 passage some more here, but he says in Romans 8, He causes all things to work to the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Now, you need to remember that. God causes everything, all things, to work to your good because you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. And He's working to conform us to His image, to make us into godly people who this world cannot take down, who this world cannot move with all of it. Listen, you know what? One of the things that our country's in, I say this world, you know something? We're talking about the violence and the political oppression and all of this. But you know what? If there's any one word that I would use out of several for our country, you know what our country, I guess two words. You know what our country's become? A drama queen. This is the United States of drama. Media is just drama. This is a drama queen, dysfunctional country. It really is. And everything is sensational. Even the weather. A little tropical storm pops up off the coast of Africa, and already we have got warnings, and it's going to do this, and it's going to do that. And I mean, isn't it amazing? One cloud over San Angelo, out where we live. You see a cloud where we live, and you're going, it's a cloud. And when it rains, you run out and say, what is that? You're so thrilled. But one cloud, and all of a sudden, there's this weather report and all these alerts, and they sensationalize and they want to hook you. Watch the weather for the latest. It's like that thing's thousands of miles away. But you better be ready. Start blocking up your windows. Isn't it true? Used to, the weather was the weather. Oh, not anymore. It's sensationalized. It's drama. It's all drama. And it's all designed to get you hooked and suck you in to their little dysfunction. So don't let it happen. So, well, you know, He says, I've got you on the palms of my hands, and no matter what, just remember, in your darkest, deepest times, and all this COVID stuff, and all this the weird things and political maneuvering that you're going to see right on up through the election now, don't forget, God has me in the palm of His hand, and He's causing everything to work to my good, whether I see it this moment or not. If you don't get anything else, I guess you need to close now. Okay, but I got more points. I can't close this quick. But you follow me? And you take that with you. That's enough right there to help you through the week. But I want to give you this. You're the work of the Lord. Do you know that? God, listen. God is always there. He's always there. You're His special creation. You're His special work. No matter what, God is always there. Don't forget it. Ephesians 2:10 says you are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Do you realize that? You ever thought about this passage? You're His workmanship. And what did He do? He created you in Christ for good works. Every one of us. That means everybody here has spiritual gifts. And you have abilities and natural things that you can do. Some of you can paint. Some of you can make jewelry. Some of you can go in and you can look out there and say, oh, I can build that little house. I can build a big house. I can fix that car. I can work on that truck. Or I can treat people. I can counsel people. I can preach. I can teach. I can whatever. I can, you know, and you say, well, I don't have any of those gifts. Can you cook? Because people love food. And you say, what about COVID? Well, what about it? What about it? I look at it and say, Tony, what do you think the odds are what are the odds that you haven't been exposed already? Think about it. This is a thing in the air. It's out there. It's on surfaces. We wear these masks. And I'm thinking about that. I'm breathing through a mask. Somebody coughs and does all this. And my mask is supposed, and it's supposed to keep me from giving it to somebody else, right? And then I take that mask off and I throw it down in the console of the truck. And I drive somewhere else and put it on, but it's inside out now. You know, not paying attention. You with me? And I've watched this and saying, this really helped. You think about this. Now, some of you are extraordinarily detailed, and you're making sure you put it on. But I'm watching this all the time, and people throw them down, pick them up. The other side's out there. Said, good boy, you just contaminated yourself. Yeah, suck it in from the outside there, buddy. Take a good deep breath. And the truth is, don't we do that? I mean, seriously. And it's like, this is really working. Now, if you're one of those folks that you're careful and you know how to put it on every time, God bless you. But for most people, myself included, you know where my mask goes when I walk out of the store? In my pocket. I cram it with my thumb. I got a thumb thing. You can wad that little camouflage mask up and stick it in my pocket. Except when it comes out, I don't know which side was in my face and which wasn't. And once in a while, I carry a bottle of peroxide, spray peroxide in the truck. I hold it out. Then I put it on. Now I'm breathing peroxide. But it's two-sided. Oh, two-colored. I just got the word, get a two-sided, two-colored one. Camo's camo on both sides. I don't know which side was up there. But I go in the store and people can't see me. They run right into me. Then I got camo on. So here it is. We're God's special workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God put you here for a purpose. And, you know, cook something for somebody. If they're afraid to eat COVID, remind them you've been eating it for months. What difference does it make? How does COVID taste? I don't know, but you've been eating it for quite a while. You're developing an appetite for it. And so God, you know, in these works that you're destined for, that Jesus put you here for, he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. What does that mean? He plans your life. And if you're not sure what to be doing, go ahead and ask him, because he already put you here for a reason. And if you don't know the reason, God surely wants to reveal it. He's not wanting it to be a secret. So what's the desire of your heart? He says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord. He'll give you delight yourself in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll show you what his will is for your life. But let's move on. You're made by God's will, his hand. And he's given you gifts, abilities for you to honor him and to do what? Help his people. And God's people need help, don't they? Are there any of God's people in here today that need help? You'd be afraid to hold up your hand, but how many? How many of you feel like you need help today? Oh, okay. Just about all of this table here. This is the sanctified group, but you don't worry about them. And so, the holy crowd, you know, but then the rest of us would admit our failures over the. Quit pointing at me. That's not fair. You know, I get pointed at a lot. I want you to know. There's these subtle things, you know. It's like a gunfighter drawing a finger. Gotcha. Okay. So your body, listen, the body, and you won't like this, you ready? Your body and the way you look were given to you by God for a purpose. Now, some of you, don't get mad at God. you know, don't get carried away and be upset with the Lord. But he assigned your looks, he assigned your body. And he allowed you to have the genetics or whatever, the DNA that you have, but it's all there from the Lord and the stuff why is it as you get older, stuff starts growing on your body? I mean, do you ever find little bumps and little skin tags? Anybody have that little problem? No, Tony, don't tell us anymore. It's gagging us. Okay. But, you know, there was one on my nose, and you know, the dermatologist had to remove, and I said, it was right up here by my eye, and I was starting to see out of the corner of my eye. And I thought, I was real afraid. I thought, it's a basal cell. You know, that's scary because I had one of those already on the eye and it wasn't a good thing. And he looked there and said, nope, that's just genetics. And it's like, oh, that's great. He said, not just old rotten skin. That's what he said. You know, he said, you want me to take it off? Said, yeah, I want you to take it. I don't want rotten skin hanging off of me. I said, they have to look at me on Sunday. You want a thing up there on you? And if it grows enough, everybody's going to be standing here. You're not going to hear a thing I say. You're going to be looking at the thing. So we got it taken off. Anyway, your body's what it is. Go ahead and accept it. Do the best you can. Take your vitamins. I'm big on that. And I mean that. And the right kind. Right now, if you're not taking vitamin D3 and vitamin C, that's just one of many. And zinc, what's wrong with you? Take it. Take it. Take it. I take it every day. I take a lot of it. I'm a big believer in that. And as a matter of fact, if you listen to these treatments for this COVID, zinc is a part of that. So why don't you go ahead and take it? Get your system built up. You know, don't hang out there and do nothing. Take care of yourself. So everything that happens in your life, listen to me, everything that happens in your life, God promises right there in Romans 8 to make good come from it. So I want you to know that's Romans 8:28, but you'll have that verse. And God says, all things work together for your good. So it's going to be all right. Secondly, I want you to know that God finishes what he starts. Do you hear that? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that God who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? Now I want you to hear something. He completes what he starts. He's begun a good work. Here's the big question. I hear this all the time. I sit down with people and they start opening up and all of a sudden they're telling me about all the affairs they've had, all the perverted stuff they think they've done or maybe they've done it, the lies they've told. I hear all this. But the bottom line is this. And this is finally, it may take a few meetings to finally get them to the point where they can hear this. And it's, do you think that with all the lies you've told and all the bad relationships you've been in and all the junk you've been through, do you think your God is big enough to forgive you for all of that? That's where we got to start. Is God bigger than your sin? Or have you let your sin become so huge, it's just like one of those Abrams tanks just running over everything, and it's invincible. You can't stop it. And that's the way a lot of us, we've magnified our sins, almost glorifying the effects of sin, which are guilt and condemnation and hurt and bitterness, anger, all this stuff. And we magnify that and let it control us. And what we're saying is, this is bigger to me than my God. And that's exactly the trap of the devil, and that's what he wants you to fall into. Because the truth is that in God's eyes, all sin is sin. And if you've and the person who says, well, I would never commit a sin like that. You ever heard someone like that? I wouldn't go down that road. You never catch me doing that with somebody else. And then they'll just tell a little lie, though, on the phone and think nothing of it. Did you know that that sin, that lie, as far as what sin does to people, that sin is equal to this other sin over here that you're so down on. One sin is just as equal to another in God's eyes. Sin is sin, and it's breaking His word. It's people that rate sins, not God. So, whether a person tells a little lie and they think they're all spiritual and they've never been down the other road, you know, that all these other people are judging. God says that He is big enough to forgive everything and cleanse you. If we confess our sins before Him, God is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, as Jesus in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. The devil didn't want us to hear that. So I'll say it again. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. Every sin. The blood of Jesus. And so here you are, and God's begun this good work. And the devil wants you to believe, and he lies to us in our hearts, and he'll do it through other people too, who'll put you down. Hey, quicker. People are quick to be critical, aren't they? And put you down for something and not lift you up. But here's the truth of it. The devil wants you to believe you're worthless because you've done worthless things. And God is saying all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And He didn't specify. He said, I created you for good works. I sent you here for a purpose. And I am going to fulfill that purpose whether you mess up or not. Do you get that? We all have, you know, a lot of people here have kids. Some of you were kids, right? I mean, at one time. Okay. Did you know as a child that there were probably times as a little kid, and you didn't never knew this, that your parents wanted to flush you down the toilet? You know, drop you in the outhouse if you go back that far. You know, really? And just tell God that you got lost. And we laugh about these things, but have any of you ever thought, why did I have this child? Anybody? But have you ever just thought, you know, kid, I love you, but yeah, you know, what did you do? You still love them. And no matter what their behavior's been, what do? You still accept them? Yeah. And you can be so mad at them, you're going to, oh, I'm just going to, that's it. I'm disowning them. I'm going to kill them. That's it. And then they call, Mom, Dad, and all that stuff you were spouting off, what happened to it? Yeah, it's out the window. And then you'll hang up and start, you're going to it again. I'm glad to get here. And then they get there. Hi, honey. If we do that, what do you think God does with us? He doesn't ever want to flush you. He doesn't ever want to kill you. Jesus says they are interceding. It says, Jesus, no, who's there to condemn us? No one. Christ Jesus died and rose again and seated at the right hand of God, doing what? Interceding for us. And he said they're not guilty. They may be a little dumb, but they're not guilty. They may be a little foolish, but they're not guilty because my blood has been applied to them. And they're still human. As long as we're in this body, we do dumb things. So you can be confident of this very thing, that you've never been eliminated. You're not exempt. This church was built on that premise, that God is the God of another chance. He's a God of full life. And no matter what people have done, come here and we're going to tell you, and that's what we're doing this morning, and we're all going to encourage you that no matter where you've been or what's happening right now or what may happen in the future, we serve a God and a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who will never leave us or forsake us, even when we don't feel He's there. Our prayers are dry. It's all rough. Things aren't going good, and everybody else seems to be getting blessed, and God's saying, just hang on, your time's coming. I'm using you as an example to others. Some other people need to see the strength in the Lord that you have. They're watching your life. It's going to be all right. And now once you've whatever paid your dues or done whatever it is I need you to do, I'm molding you. And when you've reached a certain place that only God knows in His heart, I'm going to bless you beyond anything you can ask or imagine. It says God can give us more blessings than we need so that we have plenty of everything to give those in need. You need to hang on to that kind of stuff. Your moment's coming. Right now, He's just preparing you. And God never forgets. I want to tell you a little story, then we're going to start wrapping this up. But this I love this story. It's found over in 2 Samuel, and I'm going to paraphrase it because to read all of it takes too long. But there was a grandson of kings. Remember King Saul? And he disobeyed God, and he was finally killed. Saul and his son Jonathan. And Jonathan and King David, they were best friends. Well, there was a grandson, the son of Jonathan. And when the war, the big war where they were killed, and David finally comes in, and this little boy, he was just a little bitty thing. And his nurse, the lady taking care of him in the palace, grabbed him up because she thought they were going to overrun the palace and kill all. What she was afraid of, David's guys and all these folks would come in there and kill all of Saul's family. And she grabbed that little boy and she ran. It says he was 5 years old. And she dropped him. And it's a tragic thing. She dropped this little boy and broke both his legs. And they never mended right. Of course, you know, what'd they have? They did the best you could. And the little guy, his legs was broken. It said he was lame. And he limped the rest of his life. And they kept him hidden. And she hid him in a place called Lodabar. And anybody been on vacation there lately? Okay. I thought about going there next year, going to Lodabar. But I can't because there's COVID in Lodabar. So, you know, I made all that up. Anyway, so Lodabar is one of the poorest towns in Israel at the time. And he had royal blood, and he would have been king. Listen to this. He would have been king after Jonathan. So this is important. But they hit him in Lodabar, the poorest town. Why? Because they didn't figure David or any of his guys would come looking for him. And then one day, see, and you take heart from this. You read this story yourself. You need it. One day, God put it in the heart of David. David's sitting there, and he's having a meal and all this stuff. And he said, did Saul have any, was there any of Saul's household left alive that I could honor? I got to tell you something. I know people get down on David, but I look at things like that and say, no wonder God called him a man after his own heart. David had a tough job to do, folks. He was a warrior. He had some guys to put the whip on. I mean, let's face it, that were attacking Israel. So he had blood on his hands. But still, God could speak to David, and David would listen. And he just said, is there any of Saul's relatives that we need to care for? Isn't that something after all Saul had done to him? Tried to kill David. And all, David wants to be nice to Saul's family. And they said, yeah, there's Mephibosheth. And if you're given a name like that, you want to hide and load a bar anyway. So anyway, so Mephibosheth, he says, there's a grandson? He said, yeah, it's Jonathan, your best friend's son. And that touched his heart so much. And he sent for this kid. You need to read this story. And they were terrified. They thought they'd finally come to kill this boy. David sent for him, and they brought him back to the palace. And the little kid, he's not a little kid, he's grown now, but he was terrified. And he said, well, they brought me here finally to kill me. And David said, son, you are the son of my best friend. You are the grandson of Saul. And I want you now to become part of my family. And you're going to sit here at the royal table. And you're going to live where you should have lived, because you would have been king. And you're going to eat the king's food at the king's table. And I'm going to honor you the rest of your life. And I want you to take from this story, when you feel like God's not there, that you're lost, I want you to know you're not forgotten. And that kid, you know, had grown into a young man, and he, what would he think in his heart? I'll be in Lodabar, the poorest city in Israel, the rest of my life. And God said, that's what you think. You've been here a while, and you've suffered, and you can't walk like everybody else walks. But I'm going to put you in the palace. And I'm going to bring you out of where you are now. And I'm going to set you up. And I'm going to show you what kind of God I am. And you've never been forgotten. Now you take that to heart. Because that's the kind of God we serve. And so I close with this. God will always be there for you. And don't you forget this story. And don't you forget that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. And any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. And you are, this is your heritage, it says over in Isaiah 54, of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. God says, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God says that I made you for good works, and I'm going to continue to fulfill those works no matter what you've done in your life or whatever you may do in the future. You are his sheep and he is your shepherd. And Jesus says you can do all things. What did he say? You can do all things in Philippians through Christ who strengthens you. God will, listen to me, he will restore what's been taken. Mephibosheth had everything stripped away from him. It was all gone. That story is not in there just for a good Old Testament tale. It's in there for us, you and me, we New Testament Christians, to take hope from, that you may be in Lodabar today, but you just hang on, because you'll be in the palace tomorrow. That's God's word. That's your heritage. He'll redeem you. He'll protect you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You may be feeling lost, but God knows where you are. And at just the right time, God will call your name and he'll bring you out. And it's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. And if God is for you, it says in Romans, who can ever be against you? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with Jesus, do what? Freely give you all things. Take that home with you. Let God build it in your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fellowship you give us with you, with each other, the fellowship of your word. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, your kindness, your redemption. And Father, thank you that no matter what we feel, no matter how dry it seems, you know where we are. And our day is coming, because our God is bigger than our sins, Father. You're bigger than this COVID. You're bigger than all these other things out here. You're bigger. You're God. You're the Master. You're Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we give you all praise and honor and glory, and we open our hearts to you and say to you, dear Lord, we can't make it. We can't do it. We don't even feel like you care about us anymore. And on top of that, you're saying, oh, yes, I do. I never leave you. You're in the palm of my hand. I'll never let you go, and I'm going to lead you out of this, and it's all going to be so good. And we're looking forward to it, and we're thanking you for it. In Jesus' holy name, thank you, God, for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.